Hey guys, thank you for tuning in to episode 82 of the Kitchen Stitches podcast. Today is Saturday, February 4th, 2017, and I am here with Katie and Darcy. You can find me on Ravelry as Summer Yarns, S-O-M-E-R-Y-A-R-N-S, and on Instagram as the same, with the same username. I'll let Katie and Darcy give their stuff.
I'm Katie. You can find me on Ravelry as Katie B, K-A-Y-T-E-E-B-E, or on Instagram and or Twitter as Katie B with a K-T on the end.
And I'm Darcy. I'm Slightly Foxed, S-L-I-G-H-T-O-Y-F-O-X-E-D, on Ravelry, and then it's on Instagram, it's Slightly _ Foxed, because someone was rude and took my name.
you can find show notes sometimes at kitchenstitches.com, and you can also find all of our social media handles on there too. And we do have a Ravelry group, it's the Kitchen Stitches group on Ravelry, and that we would love to have you join if you are so inclined. So, hey everybody.
Hello.
It's been a while. What's been up? Anything going on of interest?
Well, I mean, of interest is that this calendar year I started a new job in a different library system. So I'm doing more administrative work, which hopefully means that my schedule is different so that I'll be able to join the recordings more frequently.
Yay! We're excited for that part, but we're sad that we don't see Darcy every day at work anymore.
I miss y'all so much.
Thursday lunches aren't the same.
I know. I still have that enclave. Like, I'll get off the elevator, because I would always get off and, like, look to see if you're in your office.
Uh-huh.
And I still kind of do that. The first time I saw, I was like, who's in Darcy's office? Oh, that's Laura. That's her office now.
I was just thinking about that because I used to flip the light off in her office because she'd leave the light on, and I'm like, I have to resist the urge to do that because I don't know how Laura would take that.
I think you should do it anyway because, you know, I used to get ticked off, but then I'm like, then you fessed up, and I'm like, oh, okay, and actually that's a good idea, so I think you should just tell her.
Yeah.
Do it anyway.
So I don't know if we talked about it last time, but we're kind of going with a once a month format for right now, just I guess until we find our legs with Darcy's change in work and just life in general. We're trying to find what works best, and right now I think this is what works best.
Yeah,
so far so good.
Because I still have to work weekends.
yeah. But I think if we do once a month and aim to record near aim to get the podcast out near the beginning of the month, that gives us 2 weekends right around then. We can either record before or after. That will kind of hit the same timetable that will take Katie's work schedule into account. So one of the two, you're almost guaranteed to be off. So that's the plan at the moment. My life update is sad. We had to put our cat down. He was 17 and a half years old. So he was my buddy. I was his human. And it was, you know, it's still really sad. I was saying, you know, I still have the inclination to look for Darcy's door open. I still, you know, every time I get up at night to go to the bathroom, my inclination was to reach to the end of the bed and rub the kitty. Or when I get back in, I could feel him with my feet. And I'm still missing that. It's hard.
That is hard.
But he was old, and, you know, I'd rather him. I don't want him to suffer. So we are already talking about new kitten. I knew before Sherman passed that I wouldn't be able to last long. I mean, and I told Jimmy the day that we put him down. He said, we're not getting a kitten yet. I said, we're not waiting long. Just because I'm so used to having that kitty cuddle.
Yeah.
And we do have two other cats, but they are very specifically my daughter's and my son's cats. I mean, they are bonded, and those are their cats, and I don't get the cuddles in the same way. So my birthday, oh, okay, so it wasn't all bad. My birthday was this past week, and Jimmy actually told me yesterday, or was it this morning, that he almost got me a kitten for my birthday. And but he wasn't really sure if I was ready for it yet, and or if I wanted him to do that without me there. And honestly, I don't know how I feel about it.
I think
the idea of it was really sweet, and there's a part of me that wishes he had, but there's a part of me that also looks forward to picking one.
Yeah.
And it does still feel a little bit too soon. It's not too soon to think about it, but I'm not too sure I'm ready to act on it just yet. My daughter is starting to volunteer at a shelter in the city, and we will have plenty of opportunities to see kittens. So,
you know, we were thinking about my husband's going to have his 50th birthday in, I know, yeah. I'm still wrapping my head around that, in 2018, we were talking about doing a, seeing if CAPS would do a kitten or a puppy party for adults.
What is that?
It's basically for Citizens for Animal Protection. Yeah. You can, they have birthday parties. Mm-hmm. Where you sign up and they, you provide the food, but they basically provide kitten or puppy time.
Oh.
That they bring out the animals and everybody gets to play. And I think they're, you know, that it hopes for, and, you know, if it's kids, they can also put in some stuff about like animal care and, but basically it's an opportunity that they bring out animals and you play with them.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know if they do it for adults, but we may decide to do it anyway.
Why not? That sounds fabulous. It seems like having it for adults is a better deal because you're more likely to get adoptions.
That's what I think, too, than to listen to a kid go, nah!
Another thing I wanted to add is we have heard that sound can sometimes be an issue, so we're trying to be better this time with just my iPad. We'd like feedback if you are still if you're having trouble hearing us. We do listen to it. Katie, I think, listens to it more regularly than I do. And it hasn't been a big issue for me when I've listened, but I certainly want to listen to concerns. So, I mean, if I need to get an external microphone, I can do that. But if you are having an issue, just post something in the on the Ravelry board and just let us know. Okay, knitting. We'll see. I'm reading show notes. Segments include finished objects, active works in progress. We don't have a title for really any of these. I'm knitting spinning mishaps because unfortunately I do have a couple. Acquisitions, reading and watching, and I don't know if we have any in the kitchen. I didn't really have anything, but if anybody else
I haven't made anything.
I've watched my husband make stuff.
I've been completely unmotivated when it comes to cooking. I haven't even been to the grocery store. Although we did get an Aldi this week. And it's exciting for us because the only grocery store nearby is kind of dank and not our favorite place in the world. So now we have one in our little city that's brand new and will meet the needs of those little grocery trips that you have sometime in, like this morning. Laura's in the kitchen. We'll just add this right here. I mentioned my birthday was this past week, and my daughter asked if I wanted her to bake me a cake. So she actually, I was thinking about it, and I said, I want something with cream cheese icing. I want a carrot cake. So I found the recipe and we were, you know, was able to run and just get the few things that we needed. And I let that child, she's 20 years old. I let her make the cake completely by herself. And okay. I know she's 20. This shouldn't be, it's not that she isn't able. It's that I have control issues.
Especially baking.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
I sat and I'm like, I'm sitting over here. If you need help with anything, let me know. And it was the only thing she needed help with. There were a couple of, you know, where is this? And just little tips. Like we didn't have any, cooking spray. And so she's never used Crisco or anything to grease something.
Oh, okay.
For her.
child, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, we grew up on
that. I know, right? But I've just used lard.
I was just talking to someone about an old church cookbook with, you know, the first ingredient is, you need lard.
So, I mean, for all of her childhood, really, I've used the spray, you know, used Pam or whatever. But I had Crisco, I'm like, do this. And I had to show her how to use the food processor to grate the carrots because she's never done that. I mean, she's never used it before. But
I'd have to think about it.
Right. Yeah. But the cakes were done, the icing was done when I left. She hadn't assembled it. But I was completely hands off. I was very proud of myself.
This was today?
This was today.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah,
good.
So yay, I was Mom. Very proud of myself for just staying away. Now, I suspect I'm going to have to clean the kitchen. But that's okay. That's a small price to pay. Okay, let's talk about some knitting. Who wants to start?
I can go.
Okay.
We're doing whips or FOs. Okay. It is almost done, so I'm going to count it as an FO because it needs to be done by tomorrow night or Monday night. And I'm 3 rows away from being done. My Always Amsterdam Shawl by Isabel Kramer. It's a triangle shawl that you knit on the bias with sections of lace and garter stitch. I'm using Plucky Knitter Lodge Worsted, which is a combination of like merino silk, cotton, and flax or something like that. It's a very rustic kind of tweedy looking yarn in Blueberry Sour, which is a purple that's kind of on the blue side.
Is that the one you've been working on at work? Or
no,
that's a work in progress. Okay.
This is the one I've been working on at work. Okay. No, it's that big purple one. Okay. But I'm almost done. So that'll be like 700, 800 yards worth of yarn. It's getting heavy and I'm tired. that's really the only FO I have or will have here in the next 48 hours.
I've got a handful. The first one I finished is the Baby Vertebra by... Okay, I have it down as Kelly Van Niekerk because that's what it says on Ravelry. I am pretty sure she had another name. Like, I think maybe she got married or something because I think other podcasts that I've heard this mentioned on, that wasn't the name. But it's the Baby Vertebra. It's the pattern that so many people have made. I used Neely's Knits Super Sock in the Very Hungry Caterpillar color, and it came with a self-striping skein and then a little mini in green sparkle. So I made the body with the self-striping and then the cuffs and the edging with the green, and this turned out so freaking cute.
It's adorable.
I haven't blocked it yet just because I ran out of wool wash and I have some ordered, so I'm waiting until I have that, but I consider it finished.
Oh, I could just let you have some if you need some.
I thought about that. I might ask.
I've got plenty to choose from.
But it's just so cute. I actually don't know what size I made because I ended up, I think I was using a bigger needle or a smaller needle, and the gauge, like for the fingering size, I think I was getting gauge that was more like a DK, so it's I kind of winged it a little bit. I would say it's probably in the like 3 to 6 month range. I was going for not newborn, but not super old baby. This is going to a friend of ours who lives in Seattle, and the baby is due this month, so this should get some wear before the baby outgrows it. So super cute. Then I finished Melodia by Janina Callio, which I don't think I know I hadn't started. I think I started it on the 1st or 2nd of January after we podcast. And I did this for the Just One More Row single skein knit along for 2017. I used Fish Belly Fiberworks in the Rapid Space, which is a BFL nylon in the Bell Rock colorway. And I got this yarn, I traded for this yarn with Heidi, Undead Heidi, at Into the Wool. And it's just a very simple garter stitch pattern with some eyelets throughout it. It was a almost completely mindless knit. And I did it in just under a month, just doing about 4 rows a day. I'm pretty happy with this. The color is, it's kind of like a terracotta, like a pinkish brownish. It's
really pretty.
Yeah, it is pretty. It's not exactly my colors, but I think it actually goes pretty nicely.
I think it's a nice basic.
Yeah. Nice kind of neutral, almost neutral-y color. Then I made 3 hats for the Pussy Hat Project for the Women's March. I went to the march in Austin and decided the night before that I wanted to make hats. I had considered making hats, but the weather was going to be in the 70s, so I hadn't thought I wanted to. Then I saw people posting the hats and knew that if I got there and didn't have one and could have made one, that I would have been really upset with myself. So I ran to Michael's and got some bulky yarn and crocheted 2 between Friday evening and about 11 o'clock Saturday morning. And I have one of them here. The other one was a gift. But I just used Loops and Threads, which is Michael's brand. And I don't remember the name of the base, but it's a bulky, like a chunky. And it's kind of purples and pinks and browns. So not the just bright searing pink that a lot of these hats were. The other one was just a traditional pink. And then I had a coworker of mine message me on Facebook after seeing my pictures from the march, asking me how much I would charge her to make her one. And my husband looked at me and said, "You're not going to charge her, are you?" I said, "No, of course I'm not going to charge her for this. This is, you know, I would consider it a donation." And she brought me yarn, and I made it for her. It was just an acrylic, like, red heart type acrylic, very basic, and these bright like oranges and pinks. The colors were a lot of fun. Knitting it was not so much fun because it was pretty plasticky, but and I'm a yarn snob, but the outcome was really nice, and she was really appreciative of it. I have a request for one more from a family member in Mississippi, and then a request from another friend of ours, Sarah, who asked me to make one for her, and then she bought yarn for it and asked if I would also make one for her sister and her mother. And she said that she would, in return for me making them, she would make a donation to a charity of my choice, which I think is a brilliant idea for them.
Yeah.
So these are super easy. The one I did for the coworker, I did over work over about 4 days. So that over lunch and breaks. So super, super fast. So that is my finished object for knitting. And I do have 2 spinning finished objects. The first of them is a Savvy Skeins BFL Bamboo. There was no colorway on this, but I was looking at it this morning. This looks so much like the one that I spun a few months ago that was the Three Waters Farm, where I combined 2 different skeins. Colors are very similar. It's kind of a sky blue with some orangish, kind of orangey browns. And I haven't washed it yet, so I don't know how much it's going to bulk up. It has a real... I can feel the difference between just a regular merino. This has some heft to it. It's really pretty, and I think it's going to bulk up just a little bit, and it'll be super soft. And then the other one that I finished was from a bat by Blue Mule Fibers, and I forgot to write down what the content was. I know that it had some mohair and probably some merino. It looks like maybe some sari silk. I'm not sure. It was not the most pleasurable thing to spin, but I did spin up pretty fast. And I haven't washed this one yet either, but it's just a single ply, and I'll probably full it a little bit. And honestly, I think I probably won't ever knit with it just because it's so thick and thin. This reminds me of some early handspun. It's very much art yarn.
Yeah, I was going to say, it looks like art yarn.
Yeah, but what I'm thinking about doing it after I have washed at doing with it, after I've washed it, it's this really pretty, like, reds, kind of muted reds and some blues. I think it would be fun to skein it up, not skein it up, but sort of, and do it like in the shape of a heart.
Yeah.
And frame it, you know, literally use it as art. I don't know. That may completely fall apart when I try to
actually do it.
But I think it would be fun to just display this one in some way. Because it is, I don't think it would be very fun to knit with, but it is pretty. So that's it. That's all my finished objects.
I've got some finished objects. I've got, I went on kind of an amigurumi kick. I know I always do toys and stuff, but I,
who cares?
I know they're really cute. One of them, I just had a bad day and I had to make a candy kiss.
It's so cute.
I have a little Hershey's candy kiss. It's, the pattern's by Ham and Eggs, Heather Jarmuz. I got it off of Craftsy.
That is,
and
it's a free, cute.
It's a free pattern, and I like literally made it in an hour, and it's just a teeny little Hershey's Kiss, and it's very, very cute. And then the other one, I had mentioned I had gotten the crochet Marvel Universe, and I've started on that. I finished the kit came with stuff to make a Spider-Man. So I made a little Spider-Man, and it also came with to make a little Captain America. So I made a little Captain America. And then
they're just so cute.
They are very cute. They're like less than 4 inches tall.
They're so squee.
I know. And then I did the next, cause I decided I'm just going to work through the book. It's one of those few things that's like, I want to work through a book. So yeah. I made a little Hulk who's about six inches.
Yeah.
And my idea with these is that I'm going to put on some kind of like hanger to make them. And when I have an office, I'm going to do like some shrinky dink signs and to hang from it, like on the Spider-Man, I'll have a sign that says, I'm in a webinar.
Mm-hmm.
And like, so I'm thinking about like with Hulk, it would be like, you wouldn't like me when I'm hungry. I'm at lunch, you know, so people know where I am, but they'll have like these cute little things hanging on my door saying, this is where I am. This is what I'm doing. I think Captain America is for training. They turned out really cute, which leads me to, and I can't remember whether, I think I talked about that I was doing it, but I don't know if I put that I was finishing it. The Star Wars amigurumi kit,
I think you did mention it.
Okay. I can't remember. I finished the Princess Leia.
Hmm. Oh, okay. Yeah, you did.
I did. Okay. Which leads me to, I've been kind of frustrated. Because it's like, I like to do these things and I like to post them. And instantly somebody on some platform goes, oh, make me one, make me one, make me one. And part of me, I get so angry about it. Because it's like, especially when it comes to toys. It's not, you know, if you want a little Spider-Man thing, you can go and buy little Spider-Man things. To me, it always implies like they're going to get a better deal. It's not because they like my artistry. It's that they feel like they're going to get a better deal.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong, but I don't know. Does anybody else have that feeling? It's like, okay, so the hats make sense to me because there's a definite cause.
There's an activism.
Yes. There's an absolute craftivism that I'm totally okay with.
I do want to put it out there. I'm not trying to bring politics into here. These are finished objects, and this is my life right now.
But I don't know. There's part of me that gets, it's like, I'm okay with that. And I'm okay if like, okay, we're doing all these things that we're making for a donation. I'm okay with that. It's the make me stuff that drives me crazy, that my response is either like, either learn to make it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Or go and buy something similar because it feels like you're trying to get a deal out of me. Mm-hmm. And like I said, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. Am I wrong?
I don't think you're wrong. So that question of the week, if anybody wants to go over to the Ravelry board and chime in on this, how do you feel when people ask you to make things? Is it something that you're willing to do, or is it, you know,
What's the line?
What is your response when people ask you to do this? Are you willing to do it? Or I know some people will ask, you know, will say, I'd be happy to teach you how to do this.
Right.
But I'm not. I'm sorry.
No, that's not me.
I'm not a very patient teacher, and I don't think.
Depends who it is and what they want. For me, I have a friend that she's passed away. I would have knit shawls or what. I did knit shawls and stuff for her.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I wouldn't have probably knit a sweater, but. But and you're demanding a gift about,
too, right? Yeah. I mean, it's different too when I decide that I'm going to make something for someone. It's that demand or the.
Right. You know. I did get a request. I mean, this is when my daughter was super small and I went through a crazy year where I thought I'll make birthday presents for everybody.
I remember.
And I made a pony for one of her friends and the mom begged me to make, she called it a peace pony because the older sister liked it so much and there was a lot of conflict. And actually that one I did because it was very flattering.
Right.
And it was that one made a whole lot of sense to me. But I don't know. I'm just having a bad reaction to this out there. So yeah, there's a Ravelry question for the week.
Yeah. is that it?
That's it. No, that's it. Everything else is just like in process. So
let's see. Works in progress. Katie, do you want to go now, or do you want to finish what you're doing?
No, I can pick this and put this down. So I'm sitting here crocheting on my triple luxe cowl. Which I think I'm going to try and use maybe the rest of this ball. I'm using some Queensland Kathmandu chunky, in like a cranberry color. So it's tweedy, a little on the rustic side, but it's merino silk and a smidge of cashmere. It's a crocheted cowl that looks kind of like it's knit. Mm-hmm.
It's really pretty. It looks really squishy. I
like the rustic look of it.
Yeah.
This was one of those yarns I bought like in the sale bin at Yarntopia and didn't know what I was going to do with it. And then Boston Jen talked about this and I'm like, oh, this would be good because you would definitely use at least two. You're supposed to crochet 9 inches, but I'm at like 7 and I think that might be big enough. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I might do another round or two with that and then be done. So triple Lux cowl, and that is by, Stephanie Jessica Lau. It is a free pattern. If you go on Ravelry, you'll have to click on the link to get to her blog where she has it, but it's there. It's really easy. The hardest part, I guess, is joining in the round without twisting, crocheting.
Oh yeah,
because it's 120 stitches or whatever you decide to do, and the first round's a little bit hard until you get the rhythm of it, and then after that it just flies. So I'm almost done with that, and then I did put in 3 rows on my Sophisticated Traveler by Cassie Muntsgaard. I'm using Plucky Knitter Sophisticate, which is merino and mohair, in a color called Elixir, which is a purple that leans pink, and then Traveler Sport, which is yak and silk and merino, and Lady Violet, which is a dark purple. It's really pretty. That's not going to be done by tomorrow. I was wanting the yardage for a pigskin party, but yeah, I've been busting my butt on the Always Amsterdam to get that done. So it's the only two things I've really worked on.
So I am currently working on just a pair of vanilla socks using mustache yarn in the Sorting Hat colorway. I think I've talked about this a couple of times. Each stripe sequence is the house colors for one of the houses in Hogwarts and Harry Potter. And I finished the first sock earlier this week, and then I picked up the second one. I had started these two at a time, and then ripped out, but I went back to just one at a time. And actually, these I had, I don't know if I couldn't find another double zero or what, but I had actually just ripped the needle out of these because I needed it. And I, so I picked the stitches up yesterday and restarted, and I've done probably about half an inch on it. So I was probably, what is that, 3.5 or so inches into the toe. And this will go pretty quickly. This tends to be my car knitting or stick it in my purse knitting so that I have it, because it's just a vanilla sock. I'm not in any hurry to finish it. It's fun. The colors are super, super brilliant. And then I just started, gotta find it, the Shock Star Slouch Hat by Emma Welford. And I am using Ancient Arts 100% Superwash Merino DK in the gray tabby colorway. And this yarn I got last year, about a year ago. And one of their, they have a line that are cat themed, and I think they have one that is dog themed as well, and they donate a certain percentage to a rescue foundation.
Oh.
So I bought this one, and the Shock Star Slouch is, I'm still trying, I've finished the brim, and I'm one repeat in, and it's got this kind of interesting, like, one stitch cable going on, and then it has this cable panel that goes, you know, in one little strip, and I'm not far enough to really be able to see it. The yarn is super busy, and I'm not 100% sure it's the best yarn for this, but I did look at finished objects on Ravelry to see if other people had used a variegated, and they had, and it looked fine. So I'm going to give it a little while
and see. I love the colors in it.
Yeah, it's grays and blacks and whites, and it's actually really good. And I have a lot of black and gray right now. I think I have at least two things that I wear regularly that this would go really nice with if we ever have cold weather again. Which in Houston this year we've had a few days of cold weather, and that's it.
And very disappointing. Yeah.
It's cool now, though.
It's
60 degrees out right now.
It hasn't been unpleasant. Except, well, there have been a few days that were unpleasant, especially knowing that it should be winter. But that's just another rant for another time.
I know, right? It's been nice for Super Bowl, though.
Yeah. Oh, so also Super Bowl is tomorrow, and it's in Houston. And
yay, sports ball!
So the news has to report all the celebrities that you've seen in town.
I don't watch these.
I know. I feel I should at least be educated, so I always watch the local news.
I should,
because I don't read the papers.
Yeah. So. Well, what's sad is my new job, our office is right by the stadium where they're. So everybody's been talking about. Okay, so we don't want to work there, and a whole bunch of it goes. So when is the Super Bowl anyway? Because we don't follow sports. It's kind of like, yay, sports ball. We're very sad that way.
It was kind of fun on a tangent. Sorry. On Wednesday, actually on my birthday, a couple of coworkers and I decided to walk down to Discovery Green, which is a big park that's right by the convention center where they're having a lot of activities. And we just kind of wanted to see what was going on. Unfortunately, the actual activity section, the gates didn't open till 3, so we couldn't actually go in. But it was kind of fun to walk down there.
What's the construction like down there?
I don't know.
It's like, are they done?
Well, they finished the hotel.
Okay.
And the rest of it was all fenced off, so a kid couldn't really actually see what was going on. But it was fun to go down there and see. And there was a very small part of me that wished that I was working yesterday and could go down because the gates opened at 10 and I could have gotten, a little bit of the experience. I
know.
I was also equally glad that I didn't have to go down there and deal with all of the people. My other work in progress, back on track. I started Stephen West shawl. I started Herbivore by Stephen West, and I'm using Hedgehog Fibers sock and pod. And this yarn, oh my gosh, this yarn. This is I got this yarn at Stitches, and I had...
Ooh! Sorry, I just looked over and like, oh, it's like...
At the, you know, I went wanting some hedgehog, but I found so many other things that I wanted, and I put it off. I'm like, no, I can get that another time. And kept thinking about it and kept thinking about it. And what, maybe 30 minutes before the end of the show, I was like, I have to have my hedgehog. And so I went and bought it. And this was the one, the color that had just, every time I see hedgehog, I would pick up this color. No matter, you know, what the vendor was, I would, this was the one I gravitated to. And it is this brilliant, like, there's some turquoise and teal and orange and kind of a brownish. It's just beautiful. It's just so pretty.
It's a lot more green in that than I thought there was. Yeah. Like for the way it was
schemed. I thought the orange was going to pop more.
Yeah. For the way it was schemed up.
Yeah. But these are my colors. Even orange. Lately, I've been gravitating toward orange.
But there's lots of teal in there. Yeah. That's just really pretty.
But this is a really neat shawl. It's, I've never, this is actually, well, I think I've done one or two Stephen West hats before, but it's the first Stephen West shawl I've done, and this one is a fairly traditional shape. It's not one of his really out there patterns.
Before he went off grid.
Yeah. And it's so it has a couple of different panels. There's just a stockinette section and then a twisted rib section with a center stitch with eyelets down the middle. And I've gotten a few hours worth of work into it. It's not very far along, but I'm really happy with it. And it's one of those with the yarn. It's one of those I keep wanting to work on it because I just love the yarn so much. Let's see, that's what I have here. Let's see. I have also put in a tiny bit of work on my Harvest by, it's a sweater, a cardigan by Tin Can Knits, part of the Simple collection. I'm using Blue Moon socks at Rock Targi Worsted. For that, I am finished. I don't think I'm very much further than the last time we recorded. I think I had finished the sleeves last time and started the body, and I am a couple of inches down the body, maybe. No, more than a couple inches. Maybe, I think I measured yesterday. I'm actually maybe 7.5 inches down, but I still have another 7.5 to go, plus garter edging. And like I said, it's not going to get cold again this year, I think. So I'm in no big hurry. The only thing making me want to finish it this year is that I will be going to Salt Lake City for a conference in April, and it might still be chilly enough to want a sweater, and it would be nice to have. And then, you know, other conferences where the convention centers tend to be cold, but it's not urgent, so it's kind of at the back of my list right now. And then I have multiple blankets going. I'm doing the mitered square blank sock yarn blanket that so many people are doing. Every once in a while, I'll get a square done on that. I also started a granny stripe crochet blanket with sock yarn. And my method on this is to do a square on the mitered square and then use the rest of it in the granny stripe, which actually keeps me wanting to do the mitered square more because I'm enjoying the granny stripe more. So I have to do one to do the other. And then I had this fantastic idea to do just a huge granny square block, and I was going to use the Eat Sleep Knit. For the Yarnathon, they are doing the Candyland theme, and Madeline Tosh is doing an exclusive colorway for every month. So I bought the colorway for January, made a huge granny square out of it, and with the intention of adding on in February. And by the time I got to Eat Sleep Knit to buy that, they were already out of the colorway and on Vintage and also on Tosh DK, which would have been a decent substitute. And so I have decided I'm giving that one up because it just isn't going to meet my vision. And I'm probably just going to frog the square, and I can use it for a blanket. I mean, not a blanket, a hat or a cowl or something like that. That's all my knitting and crocheting. I don't have anything on my wheel right now because I finished the bat that I was working on this morning. But Next up is a Three Waters Farm braid in BFL in the early blooming color, which is very spring-like. That is all of my works in progress.
Okay. I guess that's me then. I'm still working on the Seven Sacrament prayer shawl, which is I'm using sock yarn scraps for, and I'm doing it mostly in like earthier colors, lots of green, because I want it to be for the long green seasons, which happen liturgically if you're a like a liturgy nerd. So I'm working on that, and that's nice, listen to sermons kind of knitting is basically what it is. I
see some Knit Picks Time Traveler in there.
Yeah, Knit Picks Time Traveler is what started off, and that one I just did in a straight garter at the bottom. Mm-hmm. I can't even remember. The top one that I'm working on in the cross pattern is, I can't even remember, was it? I know the colorway is Yoda.
Oh.
But I don't remember what.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are things that have become socks at various points.
Right.
I had been working on the Bright Blossoms shawl in, there was that limited edition, Houston Fiber Fest yarn.
Oh, it's Vice, right?
Yes, it's Vice. And it's really pretty.
Seriously pretty yarn.
And I had to frog it. I had gotten several repeats and realized that I had made all kinds of mistakes. So I went back and did the trick of putting in the stitch markers for every repeat, and I'm much happier now that I've done that. I've been following your lead and doing like knitting that I leave just at work,
mm-hmm.
and working on during my lunch hours and stuff, and I've been working on a pair of like vanilla socks in Knit Picks Felicity, and this one is in Hummingbird.
It's pretty.
It's self-striping. It's purple, teal, Kelly green and bright pink, and it's all colors that I wear, and I'm doing just a basic sock, and I'll probably wear them forever.
Mm-hmm. That's really pretty.
The colors, like I said, they're just a good basic sock that I'm going to wear. And then, what I started on yesterday, I had a meeting out in spring, and I had some comp time, so I stopped by Twisted Yarns. And I was looking through, and this was a total impulse buy. It's Langsole Degrade. It looks like Degrade. And the colorway is a number, which is annoying to me because I like things that have...
Yeah, I like the creativity that comes
I do
with
too.
The name. Yeah.
It's almost a novelty yarn. It's like a ribbon yarn, but it's 100% cotton.
Can I feel
it? Yeah. And it feels like a t-shirt.
Yeah.
It's like jersey knit. And so I'm doing a very simple drop stitch cowl that it's, and I'm doing them, you guys are laughing at me, like I have these giant needles. They're like 10 and a half needles that I'm just, and in a perfect world, part of me is like, can I finish this weekend? I cast on yesterday. Part of me is wondering if I can. It depends on
the personal challenge.
It is.
Yes.
It is. But that's all. I've got other things, but these are the things that I have been and mainly am working on.
Okay.
And that's it.
Mishaps. I don't know if anybody else has any.
Well, I have the one with the...
Oh, right. Yeah.
My Bright Blossoms. That was a disaster.
My disaster. So last time we podcast, and you know several other times, I've talked about working on the Lacey Bactus by Terry Montonen. I was using Handspun by Fiber Optic in the raspberry to cream colorway. And I spun it as a gradient from light to dark back to light, so it mirrored. And the Lacey Bactus is kind of a... It's a triangle shawl, but you work it end to end, so you're just increasing, and then you reach the middle, and then you decrease. And I swear, I weighed this yarn before, and it's possible that I misremembered how much I had in the ball, but I knit till what I thought was the center point, and then started decreasing, and I ran out of yarn about halfway to a two-thirds of the way through the second half of it.
Oops.
And it was It was far enough away from the end that I can't just block it out and call it a day. So, I'm really frustrated with it because if you look at it, and I've forgotten to bring it home from work, but if you look at it and you look at the decreases do start in the middle of the darkest section, which was the center. So I'm sure it's just a difference in my spinning between, it was not, I mean, this was, I'd been spinning maybe not even a year when I did this. So it doesn't really surprise me that the consistency would be different. It is very frustrating. It's really pretty. But I thought about just binding it off and letting it be a lesson. But I don't think I'd be happy with it or ever wear it. So I think I'm actually going to frog it, even though I worked on it for months, and then just do a cowl or something that doesn't matter when I run out, and probably just use the same basic stitch pattern, which is just a garter stitch, you know, sections with an eyelet breaking it up. Mm-hmm. And it would make a pretty cowl. It's just very frustrating. But I know that I wouldn't wear it if I leave it as it is. So.
Well, you put so much work into the yarn.
Right.
Right.
So it's, yeah, it'd be different if it was yarn you just bought or something.
Right. Exactly. I had a funny experience with that because I was about to run out and I was in our staff room and someone commented on how pretty the colors were. And I was like, yeah, I'm so frustrated. And the same person, I don't know if I talked about this on the podcast, but she was joking one day with some other people about how her mother wanted a spinning wheel. And she was very disparaging about this idea. And it kind of really ticked me off. And I actually posted like a little Facebook rant about it. And I, you know, she's the one who asked about it. I was like, you know, she's like, can you just buy some more? And I'm like, no, it's hand spun. So I can't, you know, this is it. This is all I've got. And then we went on, we were talking. And then she's a few minutes later, she said, wait, back up. She's like, did you say you spun that yarn? And I was like, yeah, I did. And I started talking about it. And, you know, her attitude about it was so different that day than it had been. She was like, oh yeah, my mom wants to get a wheel, and was talking about it, and she started texting her mom telling her that one of her coworkers was a spinner, and it was a very different conversation. I don't know if it was just different the company and the mood, and actually seeing
me, I think, knitting, seeing with it. yeah that it's not just something weird that her mom's right. doing.
So it was kind of nice. I liked that. But yeah, so I'm probably going to rip that out. And then my other little, it's not exactly a mishap, but I started spinning this, I had some pencil roving that I had gotten at Yellow Rose last year. It was from Kid Kat Ranch, and it was a mohair merino silk blend. And it was the most horrendous stuff to spin.
Oh, mohair.
And it was not, not the dyer. It was mohair. It was just no fun. I was tugging at it, and I kept trying to, you know, kind of let it tell me what it wanted to do. But I was just so unpleasant that I finally just ripped off what I had done off the wheel, wadded is not the right word. I, you know, kind of wound it back up and stuck it back in my fiber and decided that maybe sometime this would be good to use if I wanted to needle felt or...
Oh, yeah, see, that would be a good idea. Or full it, or...
Right, because it was this beautiful turquoise that was... It was just, the color was amazing.
Could you turn it into full it into a bowl?
Yeah, or there's got to be something I could do with it. Maybe dryer balls or, you know, something that I could use it for, but I'm not going to spin it. It was not pleasant. And the funny thing is then the next one up was the bath that I spun that also had mohair in it. And it was better, but it wasn't great. I don't think I learned that I don't like to spin mohair.
Mohair and I have a difficult relationship right now.
So that's it. Luckily, you know, nothing too terrible, but acquisitions.
I can go.
Okay.
I'm
done.
Yay!
Yay! It's
just a little ball of that.
Another FO.
I'm going to sew the ends in. Okay.
I'm going to get some water.
We won't talk about the bender this week, but...
yeah, what did I do?
I went on a bender this week. The ones I'm willing to talk about are...
My name is Katie, and I'm a yarnaholic. Hi, Katie.
I got a skein of mustache in her OCD sock. I'm assuming this is OCD sock. Hope so. Yes, OCD sock in Be Mine, which is a self-striping, different lengths of stripes in kind of the candy heart colors. Mm-hmm. So that's a red, fun. A pink, a purple, blue, white, yellow. So that came the other day. And then I ordered my first... Oh, this is actually my second Lady Men's Fiber Arts yarn. I'd gotten a sock blank earlier in January. This is the Yarn Hoarder colorway.
Oh, okay.
That's pretty.
That's really pretty.
Which she developed with them. She was right, their one. Yeah. She's good friends with them. So it's... I don't know that it would say it's a gray base. But it's got some speckles... Some green, purple, yellow. It's all her favorite colors put together. And I got it on...
I think there was like one color to represent each member of her family or something like that. That was really, it was really sweet. Isn't that sweet?
Yeah. That is sweet.
So I got the sock yarn, which is the Showstopper base, which is a 75-25. And then I got two skeins of the box office base, which is a worsted weight, which is 100% superwash, which is 218 yards. So hat and fingerless mitts or something like that. And this will be a shawl or socks.
I picked up in my trip to Twisted Yarns, I picked up it's not any fancy sock yarn. It's Plymouth's Diversity.
That's pretty, though.
It's like pretty. The colors with it are really vibrant. It's, what's the colorway? Does it say? Violets. Oh, that's helpful. Yeah. But yeah, hey, yeah, they're violet. It's like, it'll be self-striping white and shades of like fuchsia to dark purple. And what sold me on it is like, I was kind of drawn to the bright colors, but somebody said, oh yeah, I knit that into a pair of socks and those socks lasted forever and they felt so good. All right.
Can I see?
It's very soft and it's very elastic.
Oh wow. That feels really good.
Yeah. So I'll let you know.
It looks a little bit like there's a Cascade cotton
yarn
that has a similar, it looks similar to this kind of, that same little...
It's stretchy.
It's so soft.
It's very, very soft. And like I said, the woman who was next to me, she's like, oh yeah, my pair of socks lasted forever. So I thought,
this would be great for, I'm looking at the content. It's acrylic and polyester.
Yeah, so it's like not great.
But it feels great. But I'm thinking, there are a lot of, like preemie hats. This would be a really good preemie hat yarn because...
It's soft and it would wash.
Yeah.
Okay, and it probably lasts forever.
Yeah.
And it's an affordable...
Yeah.
The color... They had lots... I had a hard time deciding on colorways.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of, like, super bright colors and self-striping really, really cute. So I may end up getting more later on if I like it. I was like, let me try it. Let me see if I like it.
I wish we had a yarn crawl in Houston. There are we don't have a ton of yarn stores, but they're all the ones that we do have are all I don't know that there's one in the city anymore. I don't know if Nancy's Knits even still exists in Meyerland. But everything else it was in the city closed. So Houston's huge. So you've got things on opposite ends of the city, but it will be fun to do a yarn crawl.
Yeah.
Around up to, there's one out here in Katy, there's one south in League City, and then I know that there's at least, there's the one up
the
in
one
Spring.
The one in Spring, yeah.
Which is north, and there are more than, there were
there
at
was
least
one
two
in like Woodlands
ones.
Or something.
Yeah, there were at least two more at one point that I had heard about that were up in that area. So that would be a lot of fun one day.
Somebody organize that.
Yeah. Yeah, not me.
Not me, but somebody organized that.
My acquisitions, so I already talked about that I had bought the Madeline Tosh for the blanket. That was in the Willy Wonka colorway. And then, so what I was getting into the habit of just buying when I wanted to, and it isn't always the best thing for my bank account. So I'm trying this year to kind of plan my purchasing around payday, so I will allow myself, you know, to buy myself something on payday. So that was the first purchase was the Madeline Tosh. On the second payday, I bought myself a potholder loom, the Harrisville Crafts, I think is the brand. It's like the craft of my childhood. I loved making the little loop potholders.
Oh my gosh. Of course,
the ones that I made went in the 70s, no, this was the 80s. They sold them with polyester loops, and if you tried to actually use them as a pot holder, they would melt.
No, so, what I use them for, like, a mug. I use them for coasters, yeah. And everybody, because I did a couple, because I got one for my daughter, and she never used it, and I said, I want to.
Yeah.
So I did one that was, like, where one side was all black, and then I did a rainbow, like red to purple. Yeah. And that turned, and I always get comments on those when I bring them out. So
I made one. Them. I need to practice because I had some issues with the loops popping off, and I think I need to get the technique down. But that was fun. And then, of course, my birthday was this week, and I got a gift for my dad, and already knew that I wanted to buy yarn with it. But I was very, it was a big order, but it was... I really thought about what I was buying this time. It wasn't just, ooh, that's pretty, I want to buy it.
Right.
I went and looked on Ravelry in my library. You can see gifted patterns. And there are so many patterns I've been gifted that I want to knit, but I don't necessarily have the yarn for them. Like, I don't think I have any sport weight. And, or maybe a couple, but not very much. I don't have a whole lot of worsted. I don't have a lot of sets, you know, that type of thing. So there were several things that I wanted to buy for. So I spent yesterday afternoon on Eat Sleep Knits website. I guess it was yesterday afternoon. Just thinking about specific patterns and choosing yarn for them. So I ended up ordering, and I'm doing this now because when I get this, I'm not going to want to bring it all. So let's talk about it now. I ordered a couple of skeins of Malabriga Rios in Nimbus Gray for a Thursday morning kale. Actually, I think that was just one skein. It was it's just a really, like, this bulky cable cowl that's really pretty. And then I ordered Mrs. Crosby Hat Box in the Great Tailed Grackle. For Calm Chaos, which is another cowl. And the Great Tail Grackle is a really pretty green. I can't remember what weight that is or what the fiber content was. And then the big purchase was I bought yarn for a Moonraker by Melanie Berg. And so I bought two full skeins of Madeline Tosh Merino Light, TML. In paper, which is kind of a beige, you know, like an off-white color, and resin, which is kind of a reddish brown, and then two unicorn tails, which is their TML minis, in jade and glazed pecan. Where am I from? Pecan.
I have to revoke your southern miss.
My goodness.
I think I was going to say glazed peanut, which is not a thing. Glazed pecan, which is... kind of a brownish, yellowish brownish color for the pops of color that go in this shawl. It's a garter stitch shawl with these little accent colors. Have you made one? Did you make a Moonraker?
I have yarn set aside for it. Jeanette made one.
Okay. And that took so much thought, but I love on Eat Sleep Knits website, you can compare like four different colors.
Hello.
So I spent a lot of time just playing with that and choosing, you know, which colors would look good. And hopefully I did a good job. I'm not the best at that, but so that was fun, and which it will be such a fun order to get to.
Is Moonraker the one, it's you use two MCs and then you've got the three or four rows with the little starburst?
Yeah,
it's
like half and half, you know, one like a darker color and a contrast color.
Yeah, I have yarn set aside for it, but it's been a long time.
So, non-knitting segments, reading and watching. What's,
Oh my gosh.
I'm currently reading, I have like 5 hours to go. I'm reading Carve the Mark by Veronica Roth. I'm confused. It's like high fantasy and, or it's fantasy. And so I think I'm still in a lot of the world building and.
Is it the first in the series or?
I think so. I'm guessing. So I'm still confused kind of what's going on. There's like oracles and these people who don't like each other and they've kidnapped the new oracle and his brother and they have powers. They have what they call the current gifts, so current gifts are different, so, like, her name's Sira, is kind of like the princess, and so touch is her current gift, so, like, if she touches you for a long period of time, you die.
Oh, cool.
Her touch is painful. Her brother, who's now the king, his current gift is that he can trade memories. Mm-hmm. So he'll do the Vulcan mind meld and so I'm still trying. Part of it's I've been reading it like right before I go to bed, so I've like kind of fall asleep. But she's the one who wrote the Divergent series.
Oh, right. Okay. I knew that name. Right.
So I'm 30% through that. Mm-hmm. So I got till Tuesday or Wednesday to finish that. And then for the old school romance book club, I read The Deed by Lindsay Sands, which is an old romance. It's hilarious. At least the first like quarter of it was hilarious. This girl is to be married off, to this warlord or something like that. And she had apparently been married before and her husband died or got killed. Well, they had never consummated the marriage in true sense. She thought consummating the marriage was just laying in bed together. And so there's a whole scene with her new husband about consummating the marriage. And I am just like laughing so incredibly hard. And Dave is like, what is your problem? It is hilarious. Yeah, the first quarter of that book is hilarious. Oh, man. So that's the book this month. Last month's was The Accidental Bride by Jane Feather, which was another one I had read a long time ago. But yeah, if you like his story, it was just her naivety was just, okay, we're married. No, that's not the way it works, honey.
Aww.
Poor dear. Bless her heart.
Well, because nobody had ever told her how you, because her other husband, I forget what the deal was. He couldn't perform or something. I don't remember, but they never truly consummated. They were married for a very short time and then he like went off to war or something like that. Yeah, so he wasn't around, but yeah, it was very hilarious. I laughed so hard. Black Sails is back on.
Yay.
So that's for its last season. So pirates, yay. Other than that.
I finished The Fate of the Tierling, which was the third in the Queen of the Tierling series by Erica Johansson. It was okay. I think I ended up giving it 4 stars because once I got into it, I didn't want to stop reading it. But the end... I'm not sure how I felt about the end of it. I'm not going to give away anything, but I don't know. I really, really liked the first in the series, and the second two were kind of just a little more than lackluster.
I hate that when you get that. It's like, I felt that way about, like, Divergent. Mm-hmm. It's like, especially the third book of, like, Divergent and Hunger Games.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much... the Cinder series, the Lunar Chronicles,
yeah,
those were okay. Those held their own, but yeah, I sometimes find that by the second or third book, it's kind of like, yeah, why are you bothering?
Yeah, but, and I'm invested in them at this point, so right. I'm finishing. Well,
and then why do we feel the need that everything has to be a trilogy or right. a series of six or, now? You know, like
yeah.
Sarah J. Maas books are up to like five or six per series. It's like, yeah, that's kind of nice, but it's also kind of like, then you've got to maintain that world and those characters, and if you've got a dud, then... You know, what happened, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
So I'm,
that was you?
Okay. That was me.
I'm currently reading A Tree Grows in Brooklyn by Betty Smith, which I had never read. I want to like this book because everybody says I should like this book.
Yeah.
And it's a pleasant read. That's, I think, the best okay. thing. It is extremely slow-paced. It's very atmospheric. Okay. It's funny talking about it. I'm like, why am I continuing to read it if I'm not really into it? I don't actually know. Somebody convince me. Tell me why I should finish Tree Grows in Brooklyn. It's a coming of age story set in 1912 Brooklyn. The main character. She starts out at 11, then it goes back in time, talks about her childhood, and I think she's 13 at this point. I don't know. I'm about halfway done with the book. I've been reading it since early January, I think, early to mid-January. And it's one of those, I'll read a page or two at night and I'll fall asleep. And not, you know, if I don't get a chance to read it on the bus, I don't get very far in it. And I have other things I want to read, so
yeah.
I think I might actually.
If it's not it. Gripping you, or you don't yeah. feel that there's, my opinion is life is too short to knit things you don't want to knit, or to not read things you're not enjoying.
Yep.
And
yeah,
I will say though that there was one or two romance novels that I didn't like, and they're like, just keep going, and I was happy I did that, but you yeah. know,
are you 50 pages in at least?
Oh, yeah.
And okay, so see, then you've met, to me, you've met the 50-page standard.
That's generally my rule, too. I'm like 215 pages or something in. And it's like I put so much, it's like the same thing. Yeah. It's like I put so much in and into it. But maybe, but, I think, you know what? I think this is one of those, I'm going to go find the Wikipedia page and see what happens. I'm sorry,
I do that with so many things. There's so many things.
Yeah, it's like I want to know. I feel like I've given it a.
And it may just be the mood you're in now, too, and it's just something that you need to come back to
right.
at a later date in a different mindset. And...
I'm also reading, and pardon the language, it's part of the title, but I don't really know how to... Okay, well, I'll just spell it. Yeah, UNF**CK is actually the title of the book, but you know what it is. Your Habitat.
I'm reading that too.
Unfunk Your Habitat by Rachel Hoffman. I saw an article about it on Boing Boing, I think, or somewhere.
And I use the app too. Use the app.
I need to download the app.
And the Tumblr for people who struggle is so helpful because people do before and after pictures of like, I'm going to clean for 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And they take a picture of this is what it's like beforehand. And then they'll do like a series of what they call 2010s where you clean for 20 minutes and then you take a 10 minute break and you go back at it. And it's people of various mental health situations and health situations. And it's really, and you'll see people that you look at their beginning picture going like, you don't have a problem. And then you see people as like, you're a hoarder. But everybody is on the spectrum and it's so super supportive. So,
it was very validating.
It is. It's really good.
I mean, this is actually the way I attack my house anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It's a combination because I'm a terrible housekeeper. I will lay it out there. I am not a good housekeeper. You know, when I get the urge to clean.
Right,
or when I know I need to clean or whatever, I will choose a day and I will break it. I would do 15 minutes of cleaning and then do 15 minutes of something that I wanted to do. And the timer is my best friend. This one does 2010s and I don't, I do a similar, I mean, I kind of, it's modified, but I have upped that 15 minutes to 20 minutes instead. Right. And I was doing really great for most of January, and then something happened, we just got sidetracked, and it's kind of, I'm back in this stage where it's, you know, a little overwhelming. And I know that if, I mean, that's the thing about this, I know that if I just take the 20 minutes and go do something, it makes such a difference mm-hmm. that I'll want to do more. And it will get me back in the habit. I have one thing. It's one of the tips is no matter what, just make your bed.
Just do something. Yeah. And make your bed is so a good one.
Even though it's been, falling back on a lot of the other stuff, I have been making my bed every morning. Because if it, that feels good to go, you know, at the end of the day and to have seen that, yes, I actually did something.
Right, yeah. The app is a paid for app, yeah, but it's hilarious. Some people don't like the way it kind of bullies you in a way where it says, you know, your excuses are boring. Go do something else that you can do motivations. Yeah. And some people don't like that. I find them hilarious. So it works for me.
Back in the day, I did Fly Lady.
Yeah, it's a
What it reminds me of is
it's a sweary fly lady.
Yes. What I really, really wonder is if this person took the ideas behind Fly Lady and made it work for people who are not at home all the time. Fly Lady really, really was geared towards people who were stay at home for whatever reason. If you had, and it worked really, really well for me when my kids were little and before I entered the workforce. And that looks so warm.
Oh my gosh, we're watching Katie put on her cowl, and it's amazing, and it's gorgeous, and we love it.
But I did really well with Fly Lady, and that's where I started the 15-minute mm-hmm. thing and the timer, and I've kept that. But once I started working, I couldn't ever find a rhythm that actually worked for me. And this, it's like those ideas reworked for non-traditional households where the wife, I mean, I'm just going to say it because the Fly Lady was very much about it was the wife's job to keep it clean. It was very much geared towards a housewife. And this was, you know, today's family doesn't necessarily look the same. You may have, you know, two dads or two moms, and, you know, how do you delegate the housework? And it should be everybody's responsibility and that type of thing. And then also not everybody has the luxury of being at home all the time. And, you know, a way to make it work when you might just have a small chunk of time. And that is...
The Tumblr is also really good for questions about, like, what do I do if I live with people who are utter slobs and who are not willing to invest? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
I haven't read it, but I saw it.
I kind of cried a little because I'm like, that's my family. sorry, kids.
And then it's also, I really, really want my daughter to read it because it's perfect for people who are entering, who are just learning how to take care of your own house, people who have small spaces, people who are living with roommates. It is really good. It's a really good primer for people who just suck at cleaning.
And I think part of it
just
too,
don't know how, weren't ever taught or
there's part of that, and I think it's also gentler with people who, when you have mental health issues, right. And it's like when you get hit by those depressions that just stop you in your tracks of like, just get up and do something, just something. And it bullies you and says, okay. And then it's real gentle. If you've done the something, go and take care of yourself. So it's, I love the app and I've started the book and I'm hoping that I will get stuff out of it.
I'll have to download that. As far as watching, I went to see Dirty Dancing on the big screen last weekend, and it was so fabulous. I love that movie so much. It reminded so full of nostalgia. I was 15, 16 when it came out. I was a sophomore in high school, and it just brought back so many memories. And then it was really sad seeing Patrick Swayze, but it was 95%. Middle-aged woman, my age, who were reliving their youth. It was, but my husband and Laura both went and saw it with me. And you get to the scene where Johnny says, nobody puts baby in the corner, and everybody starts clapping. it was just so much fun to go see. And then I've been watching The Crown on Netflix. I'm on maybe the third or fourth episode of that. And for if you don't know, it's about Queen Elizabeth II. Back, like, it starts right before she became queen. And I don't know how far it goes because...
The casting in that is amazing. Yeah, I was very pleased. Yes.
What's his name? John Lithgow is...
As Churchill. Yeah.
It's very good. I'm really enjoying it a lot. And then I also have been watching Victoria on PBS, the Masterpiece Theater. And I'm really enjoying that, too. I'm not typically an Anglophile, but I...
So I'm all about that.
Yeah, it's all good.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying it.
But I've been saving that. Like, and I still have Poldark on there, and I haven't watched Sherlock yet.
Oh, I haven't. I'm behind on Sherlock, and I know my husband really wants to talk about it.
We watched the first two of the season, and Laura decided she did not think she necessarily wanted to watch the last one, and I'm not super invested in it, so I don't really care one way or the other. But she had seen spoilers or speculation, and she wasn't sure she was happy the way the story was going, so we just haven't watched it. I don't know. We probably will watch it one day.
I know. Jeff wants to talk about it, and I just haven't. Okay. Let's see. What I've been reading, I read The Mothers by Britt Bennett, which is a story. It's kind of a modern story about a girl... She and a boy are dating, and she's about ready to go to college, and she gets pregnant, and he's the son of a pastor. It's in San Diego. Mm-hmm. And she ends up having an abortion and this isn't spoiling anything, but it just becomes this weird, like this one summer, how the lives of three people kind of become intertangled with one another. Mm-hmm. And this decision that they keep thinking is secret keeps coming back. And I don't know how it was a good book. I'm glad I read it, but I don't know how I feel about it.
Yeah.
It's definitely worth the praise that she's getting. She's a fine writer. Mm-hmm. Cause it's a debut and there's a lot of buzz. I also finished The Princess Diarist by Carrie Fisher. Mm-hmm. Did I talk about this one before?
I don't think so.
It's another one. I don't know how I feel about it. Part of it was what I always wanted her to do, was to talk about Star Wars. Part of it was a very uncomfortable revelation about her affair with Harrison Ford. Mm-hmm. And being really angry because it's like she was 19 and he was 35. Wow. And married and with kids. And even though she was like super forgiving because time passed, there's a section of it is like from her poetry, which is remind me a lot of the poetry that I wrote when I was 19 and 20, just over the top. There's a smidgen of talent. It was anger making because it's just like he took advantage of a situation simply because he was lonely and she was lonely. And she didn't know what to do. I mean, it's totally understandable, but. And then she was kind of weird at the end about, like, how she called it lap dancing, where it's basically going to meet the fans and, like, how weird we are. Hmm. And we are really weird. And it was hard to know because it was, like, it was funny and it was straightforward and it was honest. And we need to recognize that celebrities are people and she's not the character. But it was also really hard to read in a way.
Yeah.
So, I'm glad, it's one of those things, I'm glad I read it, I don't know how I feel. Mm-hmm. And, God, I miss her. Because she was just so brilliant and so funny in a million ways I didn't even know about. And then going back and looking at interviews of her, it's like, good God, the woman was brilliant. Mm-hmm. And, let's see, I read a really good graphic novel series called The Wicked and the Divine, which the premise is that every 90 years, 12 deities, they possess the bodies of people. And the idea is like, you will be brilliant. you will be loved, you will be hated, and you will only live for 2 years.
Oh.
So, and it's what these people do, what gods they become, what, how they find them, how people respond, and what they do with these powers. And it was really, it's British, Kieran Gillen is the main writer on the staff for it, mm-hmm. and it's really good, and the artwork is very good. And right now I'm in the middle of Cushiel's Dart by Jacqueline Carey, the mm-hmm. whole, the Phaedra trilogy. Oh, es muy sexo. It's very, I don't know if you, have you all read this series?
I haven't.
It's high fantasy BDSM, basically.
Ooh.
It's very, the language is gorgeous. The world building is gorgeous. It is muy sexo.
so not for the children.
No, we're not reading that at bedtime. That's for mommy's bedtime. it's gorgeous. It's a gorgeous book. I know it's like one of those classic science fiction erotica books. And it's mm-hmm. like, I'm liking it. I'm working with a bunch of people now who are big romance readers.
Oh, really?
And it's they've got good recommendations and mm-hmm. of things of like, then this one came up a lot in like K-Fine, and yeah, I'm liking it a lot.
Do you have that marked on your Goodreads?
I do.
Okay, I'll go look at it.
It's muy sexy.
Because like Amber is really like some stuff that I guess I don't really know Amber all that well, but that I've read and not.
She's a big sci-fi fan.
She is, and she recommended this one, but she was very sick, because I mean the BDSM, it's not. It's sexy and brutal at the same time. It's way better than anything that Fifty Shades tried to be. It does it.
What about the Anne Rice?
Factor?
Did you ever read those?
Oh, those. The Sleeping Beauty stuff? I never read those, so I don't know.
We started one, but I don't remember.
I have the originals.
I don't think we ever.
I go with Anne Rice and like spurts. It's like everything. I'll like gobble up a book and I'm ready to read the second book. I'm like, no, I'm good. If I hear the word preternatural one more time, I'm going to stab myself in the eye. I don't think I'm watching much of anything these days. I know Tabletop started up on YouTube
that
again.
To Eli, he's becoming quite the gamer.
It's fun. It's fun, and they just played a game called Monarch, which is a tabletop game. It's a card collector game, and everybody plays a female character. Everybody's a princess in it, trying to get the. And the idea is that you build up so much honor and bounty so that the queen will notice you and make you queen. So it's like it's very female centric, which is really fun, and it's very pretty too. So I think that's why I like the show, is that it shows you what the game looks like, it shows you the game mechanics, and then usually the people on it are really funny mm-hmm. and they're fun to watch. So I'm so excited about it. It's every other Wednesday on YouTube on the Geek and Sundry channel. So totally
is Will Wheaton still involved?
Oh yeah, no, he's the host.
On it every time?
He's on it every single time. It's the other players who rotate through.
Because we were talking about it, and because Eli was actually talking about gaming, and he was talking about Will Wheaton kind of in the same breath. And I'm like, you should try Tabletop.
He would love it.
Because he loves YouTube. I mean, he watches a lot of YouTube shows. And
they're about a half hour long show. I mean, so they're a substantial show. I think they're worth the kind of like, if you have it tuned in through your Blu-ray to watch on TV, it's mm-hmm. totally worth doing that. And we have, to be honest, we have bought a lot of games because of it, because we see the gameplay. And
I think I would actually like to check it out.
You would like it. You would like it. It's most of the time it's family fare.
Mm-hmm.
They did do a tabletop after hours with, what's her name? Tyler.
Aisha
Tyler. They did Cards Against Humanity with Aisha Tyler.
She can be kind of raunchy.
Oh, it was.
Yeah, she.
It was
I think
raunchy.
I've seen some of her stand-up or something, and she can be kind of raunchy.
It was not for gentle. Most of the stuff is gentle, and he does have a couple that he actually plays with kids, which mm-hmm. is adorable. But yeah, that one was hilarious for other reasons. That's not one to show the kadiddles, but all of them, like I said, we've bought Suro because of that. We've bought Takanoko. And what's really helpful is that you can see how the game is played for mm-hmm. us.
Yeah, I think that's why, I think that is
he would like why it.
I would enjoy it's it fun. Too, because I'm interested, but I'm not, I'm trepidatious.
Yes.
Like, I want to know what I'm getting into. I want to know how complicated it is, what the thought processes are, what that, you know, before I get into, I've always been that way with games when I, you know, like, I hate learning on the spot, especially if it's partners or something where someone else is dependent on me understanding it.
Yeah.
I've had some bad, bad
Dave made me cry one time playing euchre.
Oh.
So I've been really hesitant, but with Eli becoming interested, we not necessarily like, you know, board games, but we got our friends got him Exploding Kittens for Christmas, and he's played it with friends, but he actually took it to school one day, like they had.
That's such a good game.
Played over lunch, or they did something, and then he likes Codenames.
That one is like, he's like the second person that I've heard, or let's see, when we were on family reunion, I think they played that. I want to say they have a tabletop episode.
Really?
Where they play it. That I need to rewatch because I still don't quite
understand it. Because he really liked that, and we got him that for Christmas. And then we bought Mysterium, which we actually haven't played yet. I asked their opinion, both Laura and Eli's opinion, and that one sounded good. We haven't played. And then I bought, actually last weekend, it's not even out of the package yet, it's called Anomia.
Oh.
Where common knowledge becomes uncommonly fun. It's a kind of a word game, word card game. It sounds like it might be similar to like Scattergories, in that there will be a category and you have you blurt out an answer of some type. So I brought that since we're going to friend's house tonight and thought we might try it out. But so I am
have him watch it. Yeah, and there's a lot of good. They do a few cooperative games too, mm-hmm. which. I like cooperative games since there's the idea is, you know, you're working as a group to beat the game, not to beat each other.
Right.
And so that's really the talking through the strategy. I think that's
what Mysterium, I believe, is a cooperative game. So I'll report back next time.
Yay!
I will carve out time to play. I'm pretty selfish with my time, even though I bought these games. I'm like, but knitting.
Can I knit while we play? Yeah. I've actually done. We've had more than a few games of Catan where I was mm-hmm. knitting in between.
Okay, so that's it for this month. We will be back hopefully early March. Haven't looked at a calendar, but we can expect to see an episode from us early March. And we hope y'all have a great knitting filled month between now and then. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye. Bye.